And welcome to Arrowhead Pride Radio. A little bit weird because the Chiefs had a loss this week. I'm Jay Binkley, producer Kristen O'Sara, and of course, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF HD2, Liberty, a radio.com station. Just had to get that out there, Pete.
What's going on, Jay? I think it's okay that we're on here. We're letting everybody know that even if the Chiefs are to lose, we're still going to do Arrowhead Pride Radio. You wouldn't have known that over the last 11 months because all they've been doing is winning. It's been a very long time since we've had a loss here.
I believe it was your birthday the last time they
That's
lost.
Right. November 10th is when I celebrate my birthday every year, and it was also the Chiefs' last loss before last week. So birthday's coming up. And can look back now to that last loss.
Let's dive in to the news. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Pete, now that the Chiefs have that loss out of the way, we got a lot more to go on with the Bills and with the Raiders. The Raiders lost last week. We'll talk to Kent Swanson for Chiefs offense and Craig Stout for Chiefs defense, like we always do, looking at the pass game and looking at the game going forward. But Le'Veon Bell, it's big news. He was cut by the Jets. They weren't able to trade him. 3 o'clock today, he became a free agent. The way this thing works is, you might say, well, why was Terrell Suggs had to go through waivers and Le'Veon Bell doesn't? Well, 4 years of accrued service means nobody has to go through waivers if you have that. Now, the reason Terrell Suggs did is because it came after the trade deadline.
Right.
Like if Le'Veon Bell would have been cut after November 3rd, this year's trade deadline, he is subject to the waiver process. So essentially, this is recruiting time. And not only that, he becomes attractive. Yes, he hasn't been as productive running the football in New York. He did have 66 catches last year, and he's well above average blocker and did a great job in Pittsburgh blocking for Big Ben. I mean, that's all he talked about was his blocking. He would come cheap for a little over $1 million for the Kansas City Chiefs. According to Overcap, Chiefs are looking at about $6.5 million under the cap as we sit right now, and the cap has really never mattered with the Kansas City Chiefs because they find a way for Brett Veach to do it. But the odds... Chiefs earlier had the third best odds. They currently have the best odds at plus 300, then the Patriots plus 500, the Bears at plus 600. Pete Sweeney noticed that Pat Mahomes followed Le'Veon Bell on Twitter. Le'Veon Bell has followed Pat Mahomes on Twitter. What does this all mean, Pete?
I think there's a pretty good chance that Le'Veon Bell is going to end up a Kansas City Chief. Now, we have to wait and see. I think it's to be expected that there are other teams in the mix here, but why not the Chiefs? You're trying to do this thing where you reset your career, where you can play well and play on championship team and play championship football, most likely play in the playoffs. I mean, we can all expect that, right? And be able to show out for other teams that are watching here. It may be the perfect place considering how Andy Reid uses running backs. And I think you could use some help behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There has been this notion, I feel like, that I've seen out there where people are saying, well, the Chiefs don't need Le'Veon Bell. There's Clyde. Well, look at the way the Cleveland Browns operate before the Chubb injury with Chubb and Hunt. There's room, I think, in this day and age and in this NFL for two running backs, and I think they could do it in Kansas City where you had that 1-2 punch. It seems like as things start to rumble out a little bit here that Bell would be used as like a third down back, which I think would be a great addition for Kansas City. Obviously has a good relationship with Chris Jones, and he would be playing, in a sense to me, on another contract year, which is always the motivating factor. Therese Paylor, who appears on the show with Yahoo Sports, he will always say the contract year is undefeated. So you get this guy who is a three-time All-Pro, and he's motivated to play the best football of his career. Why not?
Well, it looks like some of the technical issues are worked through, and of course, people are listening to 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2 Liberty, a radio.com station. We're talking Le'Veon Bell to begin with. Before we even dive into the Raiders, usually Pete and I will dive into the what just happened, but here's the deal with Le'Veon Bell. Jeremy Fowler kind of broke the story on ESPN. He drove, or he joined the drive earlier today. He didn't drive the drive, but he joined the drive. And he talked about Kansas City. Would this be a good fit for Le'Veon Bell?
I think it would like help at the goal line. You know, Le'Veon's a guy who can really plug in anywhere. He's not necessarily the most dynamic runner that he was 2 or 3 years ago, but he still can be effective, and he's a great pass catcher, great pass blocker. Would be really an ideal third down back for them. So, you know, from what I've heard, I do expect them to have some interest, but I think there will be many teams involved. And, you know, price isn't really an issue right now because he's got the $6 million guaranteed from the Jets, and whatever the new team offers is only an offset.
You can hear that full interview, by the way, 610sports.com on radio.com app. Let's dive into what he just said there, Pete. Good fit in Kansas City, yes. Third down back, it would be good because the Chiefs have had a hard time sometimes on those third and short type situations. And behind, we have Darwin Thompson that certainly not got back into that circle of trust where he's utilized a lot for the Chiefs. DeAndre Washington, teammate of Pat Mahomes, the running back, used to be with the Raiders, was on the practice squad. He has been activated to this team. And then you have Darrell Williams, undrafted out of LSU, behind him. So it would be a fit in Kansas City. What he said there, too, is also important to learn. He's a good blocker. Le'Veon Bell would automatically become the best blocker of all these running backs. Clyde's gotten better at it. But right. At LSU, they didn't ask him to. They did five set protections at LSU, and he wasn't often asked to block in certain situations for Joe Burrow. When he did, it was okay. Well, he's grown in that role. Bienemy's talked about it.
Right.
Andy Reid's talked about it. You've been on those conference calls when we talk about the blocking of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But Pat Mahomes has seen the most pressures in the NFL this season. It certainly was an issue against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Guys like Cleveland Farrell got 9 pressures on Pat Mahomes. His previous high was 3. So it has been an issue. Le'Veon Bell does become that third down back. Yes, his yards per carry, a little over 3 yards a carry the last couple of years. But here's the thing. Just like Josh Jacobs didn't run the ball great against the Chiefs, but he got productive yards against the Chiefs. It's picking up those first downs. I will say this. Andy Reid, my opinion, Pete, and you know this, 3 things. Can you block? Can you catch? And then can you run? In that order, the 3 things for running back. Le'Veon Bell checks all those boxes. He's a tremendous blocker, and he's great at catching out of the backfield. Look at I've heard a lot of people talk about his rushing numbers last year with the Jets. Keep in mind, that's with the Jets. That is the worst organization in professional football, but he did have 66 catches last year, and you can't not look at his effectiveness out of the backfield as a receiver.
Well, I think that's huge and probably a big reason that the Chiefs are interested in him. And I understand where the production has fallen off a little bit since the exit from Pittsburgh. It's been kind of a mess. But I just look at Adam Gase. I mean, let's go through it very quickly here. 2016 with the Dolphins, he was 10-6. Every year after that, Gase as a head coach has been under 500, 6-10 in 17, 7-9 in 18, fired by the Dolphins. Somehow, a division rival who watched him not be able to keep his job in Miami hires him, 7-9 and now 0-5. That's Adam Gase. This is Andy Reid, right? So he's going to scheme up to Bell's strengths. I think there has been a struggle with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in some short yardage so that he can help right there. And of course, the pass pro. I think part of what we've seen with Clyde in Kansas City has shown us a little bit to the fact that Kareem Hunt was a bit of a unicorn, and not to say that Clyde can't work up to being as good as Hunt was, but Hunt was so good so early, and part of the reason I think was pass pro. Le'Veon Bell can help with that too. So you have a third down back who can start to groom your rookie into being what you want him to be. Not every rookie is going to be Kareem Hunt. I think we're seeing that, but there are some growing pains that Le'Veon Bell can help with while helping you win along the way. Make this true 1-2 punch in Kansas City. I only see this as a win-win, especially because he does have the friendships in the locker room. We noted Jones. We noted that him and Patrick Mahomes have already followed each other on Twitter, for what it's worth.
Which, so, in 2020, that's going to, you know.
Look, you're not going to follow someone you don't want to hear from, right, Jay?
No.
That's why I follow you. And so the relationship in.
Yeah, mad at me once. No, I'm just kidding.
In the relationship in the locker room is already good. It seems like there's good feeling here, and he has all the motivation in the world. So I normally would tell you that when you see these sexy names, I actually get a little annoyed, I'll be honest, with the mentions and the Chiefs fans, that whenever there's any name that is significant at all, it is the Chiefs got to go get this guy. And you know what? Now that they've had Brett Veach for a while, they do kick the cans on a lot of first and second rounders and whatnot. Le'Veon Bell being a second rounder. This one I can get behind for all the reasons we just mentioned. And I think the Chiefs will be in on Le'Veon Bell.
You said a couple important things, and I think Jeremy Fowler did too in that cut. It becomes a recruiting process now. Which advantage? Chiefs. Pat Mahomes picks up a phone. You listen. Honey Badger called you. You listen. Chris Jones, they're already friends. Andy Reid picks up a phone. You listen. Do you want a Super Bowl ring? At his age? And don't forget, LeSean McCoy came to the Chiefs over 30 years old.
He's 28. I mean, you know, he's not even that old yet.
People forget Marcus Allen, when he came to the Chiefs, was, 33 years old at that point. But this is also, the locker room is important, because I think the Chiefs' locker room is very strong. And I don't think it really matters who you bring in here. It reminds me of the Patriots and the Steelers. I mean, you can bring anybody in the locker room, and guess what? They're not the top dog. Like, you could have brought anybody in New England, which they tried. You know, I'm not talking just bad guys with the law. I'm just talking just maybe attitude a little bit, thinking right. They're the best. But you walk in the locker room and you're not the best. Tom Brady was the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Belichick's the best. You walk in that locker room, you got Pat Mahomes.
And you got several other skill position players that you can make a case sure. Are better than Le'Veon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you are humbled, and he's been humbled when he had to sit out the year and didn't make the money he thought. This was Jeremy Fowler that was on with the drive earlier from ESPN, who's really been all over the story about a locker room guy, good locker room guy. I thought this was interesting.
On a short-term deal like this where, you know, he's got to kind of rebuild or at least reset his career, and he can go into 2021 free agency. I think that helps the situation. So you do a one-year deal, he can come in and sort of be a spark. You know, I think on a longer-term deal, if he has some guaranteed money, there'd be maybe an issue. You'd be worried about that a little bit. Well, you know, because, look, he has been in two stops where it hasn't gone overly well, and he would take his part in that, you know. So, there's some work to make up, and he knows that, and I think that's why it wouldn't be a problem going to that locker room. I covered Pittsburgh when he was there. There wasn't really an issue with his teammates at all until he left and was gone for the year. You know, he was known as a hard worker, and he got along with everybody.
Yeah, he's always been known as a grinder, and the teammates did like him until he decided to go rogue there at the end, and that's understandable. But as I mentioned, you know, he has friends here. It was March 6th of 2019 on Chris Jones' Instagram story. He was working on it. Pete, you and I have talked about this.
Palling around.
I was like, man, I hope Jones doesn't take this philosophy to sit out, because I told you I was worried about that. But there they are working out.
Listen, man, we over here just talking about this free agency and how crazy it can get, man. And just out of the blue, what if?
Oh, man.
So there you go. I mean, we were already talking about that. It was March 6th. He signed with the Jets.
Vessel. I mean, and at that point, you're worried about him.
March 19th at that point. And finally this. Could we see a conclusion of this tonight? This was Jeremy Fowler. The timeline on, well, I'll have bank at night till 9 o'clock tonight. So
I'm bragging a little bit, Jay.
I'm certain. What?
You got all night to wait for
this. I'll break any news, man.
We'll see.
I've always had the moniker, I break chairs, not news. So I'm looking forward to this. Here's...
If all goes well, I think he would probably like it to be tonight. But we'll see. You know, I think it depends on how it all shakes out in negotiations. But I think tonight's a possibility.
So tonight's a possibility. We'll keep in mind, as we said, the odds have changed in Vegas. From the latest, they were third earlier in the day, and now they're first on several lines, like BetOnline, Odd Shark, they were third. They're now plus 300. They are the favorite.
Vegas knows. I mean, they can't lose that money. It's a player that could help you win a championship, right? I think that's the bottom line here. Can he help you? And I think the answer is yes.
It's the first question you always ask.
And the numbers are staggering. I understand it's been a tough stretch here these past 3 years with the sit out and then the 1.5 with the Jets. But you look at the scrimmage yards. 5 of the 7 years he was playing, he was over 1,200 scrimmage yards. You don't see numbers like that. And to still be 28 and to have some years left, I just think bring him in, let him kind of mold Clyde into the professional. Not to say that he's not professional or anything like that, but it's always good to have a veteran in there. Let him mold him, similar to what we saw with Smith and Pat, who you can make a case didn't need the help based upon how he's handling it. And it's a win-win. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Terrell Suggs had an influence on guys in that short amount of time. He was
the only guy with the ring.
And he talked about the guys talked about the notepad that he would bring, and they talked about they learned some different techniques from Terrell Suggs. So, again, you have to be careful who you bring in the locker room. But this locker room is strong enough with a lot of good leaders that even those that were kind of confident about themselves, and that's kind of his deal, He's not a humble guy, to be honest with you, but it can humble you being in the locker room. Plenty of Le'Veon Bell later. We'll talk to Kent Swanson here in a couple minutes. He's the offensive guru for the Arrowhead Pride radio show and arrowheadpride.com, and clearly a Mahomes breakdown expert. We'll talk to him. How will Le'Veon Bell fit in this offense? But the Chiefs did lose, Pete. Let's don't lose sight of this. And the Bills lose last night, the Chiefs' next opponent. So they're both going in a little hungry with one losses. That Raiders game surprised me a lot, though. This was a team that was giving up 30 points a game. They still gave up. They gave up 32 points in this game. I think I was surprised to see somebody come back against the Chiefs. That's one.
Yeah.
We don't see people come back
twice
against them. Yeah, once the Chiefs went up 21-10, I was like, man, they're going to start boat racing them here. And nobody's attacked them deep. No one has got deep touchdowns on this football team since the Houston Texans did in the first quarter, their first score in the playoffs. Deshaun Watson hit Kenny Stills for 54 yards, but the Raiders had five plays over 40 yards. They were not content on not testing the Chiefs deep, and I think not having a pass rush goes hand-in-hand with that. So the pass rush wasn't good for the Chiefs. I think that goes hand-in-hand with the secondary because Derek Carr, that I think gets nervous and gets happy feet in the pocket.
Right.
He had plenty of time to set and throw, and we haven't seen that from Derek.
I think that is the key to the game right there, right? Because I kind of like what the Raiders are doing. I hate to say it, but I like the way Mike Mayock is building this team, the way they're cutting losses like they did with Antonio Brown when they said, okay, this is a mistake, and they were right about that after being wrong. I like a guy like Henry Ruggs, who they needed somebody who was a speedster. Hunter Renfrow was a good pick. Been a big fan of Jonathan Abram. As someone who loves the game of football, it was upsetting that he had to miss pretty much all of his rookie season. So what the Raiders have been building, it has been good to me, but it was always the trump card of Mahomes versus Carr. Couldn't get over Mahomes versus Carr. And so I think about that, where Carr finally took a step in this game. He showed that he's willing to throw the football down the field. And so maybe it was just a matter of being protected and having the weapons. And so that it is what it is. They got the better of the Chiefs, and now the Chiefs have been punched in the mouth a little bit. They got a huge game against the Buffalo Bills. We'll see how they respond.
Let's jump now with our offensive guru. You know him as Kent Swanson, at Kent_Swanson. Great articles on arrowheadpride.com. Of course, the draft guide as well. I have to mention that each and every time I have one of your guys on, because I love that draft guide so much.
It's your favorite book.
It's one of my favorite things. Yeah, but a lot of things going on with the Chiefs offense. Why didn't it work against the Raiders? Le'Veon Bell, would he be a good fit with the Chiefs? We'll talk to this guy right now about that, Kent Swanson. Good evening, Kent.
Hey, Binkley. Good evening. It's good to hear from you, my friend.
Good evening to you as well, Kent. Pete and I were just discussing. We got into the Raiders game a little bit there, and we'll get into that with you as well. Just want your opinion on Le'Veon Bell's fit with this offense, both blocking, catching, and running the football, maybe mentoring Clyde. Could he fit in this locker room? Could he be a good signing and pickup for the Chiefs? Remember, the Jets are paying most of his salary. The Chiefs only have the league minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as far as a fit is concerned on the field, yeah, he makes a lot of sense. I was watching a little bit of tape on him a little bit earlier today. He does some stuff in the passing game that you'd like to see that, you know, can kind of be, you know, a good fit similar to what Clyde does. He ran a fade route or a wheel route from the slot and caught a ball over his shoulder. Really impressive, kind of like what you saw from Clyde the other day. So there's some really good, you know, like as far as fit is concerned in this offense, there's no doubt about it. This guy makes perfect sense. Now, culture fit, locker room fit, it's a little bit, you got to answer some questions. You got to do some vetting in that regard.
Pete, he just, he just followed Le'Veon Bell on Twitter, Pat did, and he followed Pat. Pete found this.
Yeah.
That shows real
Twitter,
friendship
as
there.
We know, is everything.
That shows friendship, Kent. You got to put that in the equation.
Hey, you know what? You know, Pat's already put in that work trying to make this culture fit. And honestly, hey, look, Pat following him, that might tell you something. That might tell you something a little bit about their desire to add this guy into the mix. You know, if Pat's signing off, they're going to do it. So, hey, maybe that is a small indicator. So, I'm not going to speak entirely for whether or not he's a culture fit, but like I think he's a worthy flyer, a low-risk flyer.
You can follow Patrick Mahomes on Twitter, at Patrick Mahomes. He's, of course, at Kent_Swanson. You can follow his stuff as well. Does a great job analyzing Patrick
Le'Veon
Mahomes.
Le'Veon Bell also liked Arrowhead Pride's tweet.
You know what? That is always a good thing to do when you're talking about Arrowhead Pride Radio. Ken, I've heard a lot of people today say that if you bring Bell on board, this will set Clyde back. Why is that not the case?
Well, I mean, it's not Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 60% of the snaps this last week. So there's some opportunities there that, you know, that are to be had. And getting rid of Darrell Williams snaps, Darwin Thompson got rid of his own snaps the last 2 weeks because he fumbled against the Ravens. You don't exactly have a number two running back that's setting the world on fire. Le'Veon Bell has shown an ability to run the ball effectively, pass protect, run routes out of the backfield, run routes out of the slot. I mean, he does a lot of things. He's much more dynamic than Darrell Williams. So what happens is you've got someone that's relatively dynamic, can do a lot of different things on the field at any given time. If you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire running and Le'Veon Bell running behind him, I mean, I think that's a perfect fit.
Kent, when you look at this, was the struggles more the running game or the protection up front?
That's a tough question. There was a lot of issues across the board, frankly. I mean, I don't want to spread blame to one thing. It was a little bit of everything, and that's such a cop-out answer, but it's true. Holmes was not good in a lot of capacity too. But they didn't do much at all, frankly, in the second half. It was just an abysmal performance across the board from them. And, you know, you got to pass the blame around. And I hate that. It's such a cop-out answer, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it was a tough loss and tough to watch, really. And that's going to happen when it's your first loss in 11 months. It's been a long time since in that third quarter, we really couldn't see the Chiefs offense doing a lot. And Ken, I know I've noticed on your weekly column, you had Mahomes struggling a little bit last game for periods. There were certainly some struggles for periods this game. Is there one thing that you could point to that's saying, okay, here's what he's dealing with right now from the film?
I think there's just like a hint of a lack of patience with him. Just, I think with everything, you know, the 4-man rush, being a little antsy back there because things aren't coming clean and coming clear and obvious so quickly for him. Just, you know, maybe wanting to bail out of the pocket a little bit. You know, trying to force things, I think, is just kind of something that I think we've seen a little bit from him this year entirely that not entirely used to. Because that was really something you kind of wanted to coach out of him, you know, when you watched his college tape. And, you know, two, at this point, it really hasn't hurt him all that much. Well, it kind of feels like some of that's creeping up a little bit. Maybe some old habits are kind of creeping in a little bit because you're seeing him maybe take some chances that he normally doesn't, trying to bail from the pocket a little bit earlier. Doesn't seem like he's seeing everything as cleanly. So I think there's just like a little bit of a lack of patience involved with everything you're seeing from Mahomes right now. And that's part of why, you know, there's been some hiccups and some stretches of, you know, not great football a couple times here this season.
Kent, we saw a couple tough guys go down in this game, and I mean guys that kind of, you know, bring their lunch pails and will hit you, and Kelechi Osemele, KO. I feel he was the toughest guy on the offensive line. And Sammy Watkins, going to be missing him for a couple weeks, and I really think there's no better blocker on that receiving core than Sammy. And I know people always look at the stats and the numbers with the catches, but he's not afraid to go crack a linebacker and be physical either. Who hurts them most going forward right now until Sammy comes back? Because he'll be back. Clutch, he won't. But who hurts them most in the next couple of weeks?
I think it's Sammy. You know, this offensive line, for instance, hasn't been able to run the football with or without Kelechi Osemele for all intents and purposes. And don't get me wrong, he's a good player. Sammy Watkins, losing him has been difficult in the past, and this team doesn't have a great direct replacement for Sammy Watkins. He's a difficult guy to replace as an X receiver, and really guys like Marcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman aren't guys that are going to be able to really fill into that role. That guy that's going to beat press off the line of scrimmage, that's going to be, you know, able to catch tough passes, you know, on a slant route in the middle of the field, get yards after the catch, blocking, like you said, to your point, those aren't the strengths of those two. So you might have to look at a guy like Byron Pringle to get an increased role, or you're going to have to get really creative and try to figure out a way to account for his loss. He's not an easily replaceable player, and I think he's having a really good season for the most part this year. A little bit more consistent production on a game-to-game basis. He wasn't hiding and disappearing entirely like you've seen for stretches. There was pretty consistent performances. And it's disappointing to see because it's something you got to live with Sammy Watkins, but his highs are so good, and they're going to miss him.
This is new ground for Kansas City where each and every year it's Super Bowl or bust because you have that championship locked up and now you're just trying to repeat. You're trying to do things that other teams haven't done. Watkins, this past offseason, he restructured his contract to stay. Isn't there a silver lining to this to see, okay, is there a ample replacement over the next 2-3 weeks on the roster? And if there's not, you either got to make a play to keep Sammy or go draft somebody or sign someone in free agency.
Yeah, there's some value in this absence a little bit, I guess you could say. I mean, it's going to put a little bit of pressure on Mecole Hardman, which yeah. I think is a good thing because he really needs to grow. He needs to progress. He needs to make some steps to, you know, kind of improve and show that he can play on a consistent basis, snap to snap. That's been a big piece of his development. We haven't seen that out of him. It's very boom or bust. You know, those manufactured touches behind the line of scrimmage, and then once every 4 or so games, he's going to hit one of those big plays down the field. So you're going to get to see more of him. You're going to get to see what the offense looks like structurally without a guy like Sammy Watkins, without a Truex. Can you do some things still? And do you like how the offense looks when you don't necessarily have a Truex on the field? Those are some questions that you're going to be able to answer, and it's going to tell you a little bit about what they need to do moving forward. Do they need to go grab, you know, a Sammy Watkins replacement in the draft, like you said, or free agency, or try to find a way to bring Sammy Watkins back? What does his market look like next year? There's definitely some things and some positives that can be gleaned with it. I think you would rather that not be the case, but there's some level of silver lining here with that.
Kent, looking at the next opponent here really quickly with the Bills, you look at their defense, total defense 17. There's really not anything special about it. They're 21st in points against, giving up 28 points a game. They don't really get to the quarterback, only 10 sacks this year. And the concerning thing for them is their third down defense gives up first downs almost 51% of the time. And the Chiefs are actually still really good at that. They were first, now they're third in first down efficiency. Bills defense did not look good last night. It really hasn't come to form this season. What are you expecting against the Bills and the Chiefs offense versus that Bills defense?
Well, I don't think you can take them lightly. And I know that they've had their struggles this year, but they're definitely still a unit that I'm looking at going, they're tough. They've still got a really strong, they got strengths at all fronts. I think they've got a deep defensive line, even though they may not have as many sacks as you'd like to see. They've got a real deep rotation of pass rushers and a really strong, really strong front that they're going to be able to throw. If they try to send four and get home with four, they can do it better than the Raiders can, and we saw what happened last week. So that's going to be a different. That's going to be a difficult challenge. They've got a good back seven. They've got, you know, Tre'Davious White didn't play last night. Josh Norman, if he's recovered, if his pride's recovered from getting tossed by Derrick Henry last night, you might see him next.
You can never recover from that.
I think you got to.
You just got to stay. You got to stay laying down forever. Like just stay there permanently.
Yeah,
he was so salty. You could tell his pride was hurt because he was trying to cheap shot like the very next play.
You know, the thing about it is everybody's talking about that, but they're not talking about the fact that Derrick Henry didn't run the ball very well last night. He got the 2 touchdowns. It was like a 3-yard average.
Hey, my fantasy team didn't notice, so that's all that matters, man. Just win, baby. But no, you got a good squad. I don't take them lightly, Kansas City, because this group definitely can still get after the quarterback. I'm still worried about them. They've got a deep group. You're gonna be facing a big challenge out in Buffalo, so don't take this group lightly.
Looking forward to the game. That's Kent Swanson at Kent_Swanson, part of the group at ArrowheadPride.com. Fantastic work with the Chiefs offense. Thanks a lot, Kent.
Anytime, brother.
I like that he said that you get Hardman under a little pressure. You know what pressure makes, Jed? It makes diamonds, man.
It makes some diamonds. But we'll talk about that, too, at the end. Don't forget, you can text in as well on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. Peter and I will talk about the opponent. At the end, we'll look at maybe some of Hardman stepping up, plus take your questions as well for Pete Sweeney. But coming up next, Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, ArrowheadPride.com.
The Drive talks exclusively to Patrick Mahomes every Monday at 2:15, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Arrowhead Pride Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Jay Binkley with Pete Sweeney, who's the editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com. It's really, really busy with that Le'Veon Bell information there. Kristen Osero producing. We heard from Kent Swanson on the Chiefs offense. Let's talk about the Chiefs defense with the one and only Craig Stout at Barley Hop on Twitter. He's the defensive film analyst for ArrowheadPride.com. Good morning. Good evening, Craig.
Hey, good evening, Vink. How we doing?
Or morning, whatever it is. I forget all the time. I'm just. Yeah. I guess the Chiefs' defense, Craig. We'll start there. We were all lollipops and candy bars last week talking about the defense, and things were certainly changed. I am curious though. Derek Carr had that time in the pocket, and the Chiefs had not given up that touchdown of over 50 yards since Kenny Stills and Deshaun Watson hooked up in the playoffs the first game. But they had five plays over 40 yards in this game. Derek Carr had the time in the pocket to throw the football and deliver downfield, and they challenged the Chiefs' defensive backs like we have not seen this year.
Yeah, they definitely did. Steve Spagnuolo came out and decided that he was going to try and rush for the pass rush had been good up until this point, and then he was going to force Derek Carr to try and throw deep, something that Derek Carr, you know, hasn't been particularly good doing for, you know, basically his entire career. And he came out, and credit to Derek Carr, he nailed his downfield shots. He took advantage of some poor communication on the back end, some blown coverages, some blown zone assignments, and he just was able to capitalize. And then the Chiefs' pass rush just frankly wasn't able to get home. They have a lot of money invested in that defensive line. Steve Spagnuolo still blipped about his season average around 30% of the time, and it just frankly didn't matter. Derek Carr and that Oakland offensive line, Las Vegas offensive line, I'm going to do that forever, just gave him plenty of time back there to pick apart the Chiefs secondary.
You could say Oakland if you want, Craig. That's okay. I think that's been the number one question in Kansas City this week. Was it the front? Was it the second level? Was it the secondary? Who do you think was most to blame, or was it truly a combination of just everybody struggling?
It really was a combination of everybody struggling, but I do feel like the secondary, after, you know, being so good for the first 4 weeks of the season, and even going back to last year, they finished the season on a heater in pass coverage, and they just couldn't really put it together this week. There were just some miscommunications. And for people that are maybe a little doom and gloom this week, maybe, oh no, here we go again. Listen, that sort of miscommunication has not happened in almost a year. I mean, it's been a long time since they've looked that sloppy, that disorganized. I think this is just an anomaly. So I'm looking for, you know, when the Chiefs are playing the Bills in the next couple of games here, then clear up some of that communication on the back end, because it was as simple as guys being in their zone. Maybe Derek Carr doesn't take some of those shots, and then maybe the pass rush gets home, and we've seen what happens when Carr gets rattled. They just couldn't do that this week.
Talking to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, ArrowheadPride.com. And Craig, looking at the linebackers, Willie Gay was a guy that I said, you know, just wait till week four, week five, you'll see him in there more. And clearly, he got 47% of the snaps compared to 33%. It's been going up every week. He got the one sack as the time Derek Carr slid, and he got there. But six tackles for Willie Gay. What did you think of the linebacker core between Neiman and Hitchens and Willie Gay in this game?
I think that this was Anthony Hitchens' best game as a Chief.
And Matt Lane said too.
Particularly close. I feel like the past 3 weeks, Anthony Hitchens has just been better and better and better. He talked in this offseason about how he didn't have to learn the foundation anymore. You know, he didn't have to go through and learn all these positions to make sure everybody was organized. He just kind of gets to go out there, line up, and play. And you saw Anthony Hitchens calling out plays before they happened. He knew where the ball was going to go. His film study paid off, and he was able to play a little faster. He was able to make a few plays. And he's helping Willie Gay with that as well, you know, kind of directing traffic at that second level, helping Willie Gay come up to speed here. We know he's got the athleticism, but, you know, he needs a little bit of help processing. Having Anthony Hitchens standing back there, knowing where the play is going to go, telling him where his assignment's going to go, it helps him kind of read some of the keys as he's moving to those spots, and it's going to kind of all come together slowly but surely. They just got to do a little bit better in pass coverage, and then they got to get themselves a little bit better of a backup mic. Ben Neiman just had a rough day overall, and the defense looked significantly worse when Neiman had to come in for Hitchens when he was injured there for a little bit. Hitchens came back. They shored things up again a little bit better. We just need to kind of pay attention to that backup mic position a little bit more as the season goes along.
Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride Radio, talking with Craig Stout, our defensive film analyst at Arrowhead Pride. I know Jay wants to ask you about the Buffalo Bills, and we'll get to that in just a second, but I need your take on Le'Veon Bell. What makes him so hard to defend, and do you see it as a fit in Kansas City?
I do see it as a fit in Kansas City because he's an excellent pass-catching back. He's a very patient runner. I think that those are qualities that Andy Reid really enjoys. We saw LeSean McCoy, a guy with good vision, a little bit of extra patience, come in and do a little bit last year and then, you know, fumble the ball a little bit and kind of got himself in the doghouse. I think that Le'Veon Bell complements Clyde Edwards-Helaire very well. I think they can do a lot of the same things, and they can be used in a lot of the similar ways. But in these situations where we're seeing Darrell Williams come in on third downs and kind of take over some of these pass-heavy scripts, especially at the end of the game, that is prime Le'Veon Bell territory if they don't trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire yet to have that role. Bring Le'Veon Bell in for a one-year deal and have him run the table there on that third down roll.
And quickly, Craig, the Chiefs' next opponent, the Buffalo Bills. This is a high-octane offense. Didn't show it last night. They're still fourth, averaging over 400 yards a game. They cannot run, though, but they can pass. They're number two in the league in pass offense, but 21st or 28th with the run. The problems that Josh Allen might in this offense of the Bills could pose to the Chiefs' defense.
That vertical threat, like you said, Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers in the NFL, a guy that's constantly underrated for what he does. The Chiefs will definitely need to make sure that their pass coverage and their communication on the back end is significantly better than what they saw against the Raiders there. They certainly won't be trying to take away the intermediate, you know, not expecting Josh Allen to go downfield. He's going to go downfield. So I think that maybe the game plan is going to be a little bit better. They're going to put a bigger focus on making sure everybody's on the same page.
Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com, on Twitter, at Barley Hop. Just one of the best defensive gurus you will find out there. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Thanks, guys.
Craig's also a beer expert, Jay.
No, he is. I've had Craig on to talk beer.
Call him the Renaissance man.
Craig brought me beer for a draft special we had a couple years ago, and he was very good. It was an Imperial Stout.
It's cute.
Very good stuff like that. Yeah. Text number 913-576-7610. Some of you have questions for Pete Sweeney. We'll dive into the Buffalo Bills and your questions to round out the show.
This is Arrowhead Pride Radio, presented by the Kansas Lottery, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Arrowhead Pride Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney. We just heard from Kent Swanson from the Chiefs offense and Craig Stout, Chiefs defense. Pete, before we get into the questions from the Arrowhead Pride Radio listeners on 610 Sports Radio, the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
A lot of talk about the Buffalo Bills, and I reminded people, look at their schedule. I mean, you start off against the Jets and Dolphins, you're going to start putting up numbers. I felt that Tennessee had the game plan, and Tennessee was the mystery. This team has been off. They've had to deal with COVID. Did they have the practice time? Whatever, it certainly came together for Mike Vrabel, and suddenly we look, okay, is Tennessee in that tier now that we look at the Buffalo Bills?
It's hard for me to put Tennessee there because prior to the win against the Buffalo Bills, I really felt like they were lucky to be undefeated at the moment, because if you looked at their previous three games, they could have lost each game. It was a one-point game against the Vikings. It was a three-point game against the Jaguars, who have revealed themselves to be bad. And it was a two-point win against the Denver Broncos. And that was a game I really felt like the Broncos let get away. So I'm not ready to buy the Titans either. It was surprising to see them dominate the Buffalo Bills like that. And what I think is interesting about this game now is we were supposed to have this 5-0 clash style thing where it becomes a thing where you got to really avoid quicksand here, because we expect to be the Titans to be in the mix. We expect now the Ravens to be in the mix, the Bills, potentially the Steelers. We're all playing here for this one bye. And so especially these games against the contenders, they're huge. They're swing games. So you get to the end of the season, you have that head-to-head win if it does come down to you and the Buffalo Bills, because I think they're actually truly a good team. I still have questions about the Titans, again, even though they're still undefeated.
You know, I'm still riding with the Baltimore Ravens as being another
team. Yeah,
you're
a big Ravens guy.
No, I'm not a big Ravens guy, Pete. The Chiefs have their number, but they have won 16 of the last 17 regular season games. They beat everybody but the Chiefs.
Mahomes and Mayfield.
That is a good thing to have. And I mentioned the Bills. Their schedule gets exponentially tougher. They got two games against the Patriots. Well, they've beaten them 9 out of 10. They've beaten them 7 in a row. You got to get by them before I take you seriously in that division.
The good thing about the Raiders is you get another crack at them, right? You have that every single year. These games where you're only playing the contender one time, you got to get. So good that the Chiefs got the one against the Ravens. This is another key game coming up on, you call it Monday night or is it like Monday afternoon-ish?
Well, it's
Monday afternoon-ish football.
50% of the Chiefs games have been played on Mondays. Now, I will say this. Advantage Chiefs in this situation. The Bills played on Tuesday night. They get that extra day. The NFL gave them that. They didn't make them play
really
on Sunday, which would have been bad.
Getting to enjoy a little Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre.
But the Chiefs were going to have the short week. They were the ones that were going to go to Buffalo on a short week, and all of a sudden the Chiefs are the team with that extra time.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, too, because you have the ultimate coach for extra preparation, right? And head coach Andy Reid. Even if it's those short buys, he tends to have success when he's given extra time to just zone in, sit in that chair, drop some play calls, and then give it to the other team. And I think you'll see those two extra days come in handy when it comes to Monday.
Now the text line, let's answer some questions. From the 913, Pete.
Yes.
Would you rather take a Derrick Henry stiff arm or a sweet chin music from Shawn Michaels?
Good question. Certainly wouldn't want the Derrick Henry stiff arm. It really did feel like Josh Norman was ready to just lay in his grave. Sweet chin music from Shawn Michaels, it's tough to get up from that. I've seen a lot of great men counted to three from the sweet chin. I'm going to take the Derrick Henry stiff arm. I'm talking myself back into the stiff arm.
From the 816, with Allen's arm compared to Carr's. No, Allen's arm is stronger than Derek Carr. Hope he does how does the deep threat factor into a game with Diggs going against the Chiefs secondary?
Yeah, it's not a good matchup for me right now after seeing last game, because I find that Stephon Diggs, especially this year, it's like he reinvented himself and is, to me, a better weapon than most of the Raiders. I mean, maybe you consider Darren Waller to be a better weapon than Diggs, but other than that, I think Diggs is a better performer than all of those guys. So that is a daunting matchup. The pressure is going to need to be a lot better against Allen.
Of course, Sean Levine interviewed Pat Mahomes this week here at 2:15, exclusively right here on 610 Sports Radio every Monday. Pat talking about maybe throwing at 83 yards. You know, that you'll throw off with Josh Allen. I don't expect it to see before a game. This is more of an offseason type of thing. Will Mahomes take Josh Allen in a throw-off?
That's where this loss was a shame, because if these teams were undefeated and you're really feeling yourself, this might have been one of those games where he says, and Andy Reid I'm talking about, he says, Tyreek Hill, go, and he just let Mahomes rip it. I mean, you've tend to have seen that early on in games where, you know, if there's something, an extra little storyline, maybe they do something like that. It doesn't seem like they'll do that now that they have to win this game.
We ripped one to Tyreek Hill. That was one of the most beautiful throws.
And it didn't count.
It's unfortunate.
The stiff arm didn't count last night, too. All these great plays not counting. Yeah. And I know penalties are down, but pick up the flag, Raf, right?
Yeah, no question about that one. From the 417, could they use Bell to mentor Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah, I already talked about that. I think that is big. This is a running back, you know, again, with weird years these past few years, but has had a lot of success in this league. Why wouldn't you want your rookie that you've invested this first-round pick in learning from a three-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, of course?
From the 785, Pete, real quick, how much are we missing Snead?
A lot. A lot, it seems.
Back?
He was a pleasant surprise. We didn't even know we'd miss him. I would say another 4 or 5 weeks at least, and hopefully down this stretch you get him back. And by then, the Chiefs secondary is playing well anyway, right? That would be the best case scenario for Kansas City.
We talking about a win next Wednesday?
Yeah, we'll talk about the Bills game.
Will the Chiefs have a win?
Oh, will they have a win? I mean, I hope so. That's why they play the games, Jeff.
Well, it's been Arrowhead Pride Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Big thanks to Kent Swanson, join us, and Craig Stout. As always, big thanks to you, Pete Sweeney.
No problem, Jake.
ArrowheadPride.com, and a great job by Chris and Osero producing the operation.
Got through adversity tonight. That's big on us.
Well, keep me posted on Le'Veon Bell, and keep your phone handy, because you know I'm calling you if it happens.
ArrowheadPride.com.
You've been listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio. Check out ArrowheadPride.com. Big at night, next.
This is Arrowhead Pride Radio, presented by the Kansas Lottery, 610 Sports Radio.